Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3, you're in the breakfast huddle with Elliot Danko, Manisha Tank and Ryan Hwang. It is time for The Bigger Picture.
It's a story of rise and fall. We talked about the rise of GameStop, AMC Entertainment and Silva, and now they're all dropping.
Yes, indeed.
I guess what goes up must come down at some point, and it is a huge turnaround. GameStop, for example, overnight down 60%, and silver prices at one point at 8-year highs, and that's down 10%. So a bit of a turnaround, and we will be getting a bigger picture from Silas. He is the chief economist and head of market research for RHB Banking Group, and he also has some contrarian calls, the US dollar to appreciate and Malaysia to attract safe haven flows. Morning, Silas. How are you doing?
Hi, morning.
Let's start with what's happening on the Reddit front. And we've got the Reddit-driven rally. That now seems to have fizzled out. And it's worth noting that actually in Malaysia, where you are, there's a forum inspired by the Reddit rally, Bursa Bets as well. How is that panning out in Malaysia so far?
Yep, so I'm not going to comment about Reddit specifically, but what I can tell you is that in global markets, including in Asia, wherever there has been froth in the market, and I would call this event, the Reddit event, as froth, is essentially just telling you that, you know, the sentiment in global financial markets on this V-shaped recovery, you know, continuing, whether it's in the markets front or in the global business cycle, I mean, that was basically far-fetched to start with. And the reason is that, first of all, you are now seeing economic data globally on average starting to soften. It hasn't crashed, right? But it's basically softening, right? And expectations among investors currently based on survey data continue to indicate that investors expect growth to continue to accelerate in the next 6 months, contrary to what the data is already telling you anyway, first of all, point number one. Point number two, investors coming into this year were pricing in a fairly big fiscal package from the United States, right? Because President Biden, incoming president, had proposed $1.9 trillion, and that's off of the table, right? We wrote a note on Friday night indicating that the market is pretty much fully priced for a trillion or so dollars in additional fiscal stimulus, and that's a disappointment. It's going to take some time. Our core view has remained unchanged since our December 9, 2021 outlook was published, that any significant fiscal stimulus from the United States would essentially only come sometime in the summer, if at all. And we also do think that the Fed will need to come to the table again for additional quantitative easing, because both the fiscal and monetary authorities in the U.S. Will be behind the curve. So the key implication then for global markets is, of course, risk off is coming significantly. You know, by the basically end of February to March, you will see a significant decline in risk-taking activity in global markets. And this whole episode about Reddit, Robinhood sort of theme is part of all the froth that is there in a otherwise basically global economy, including now in Asia. You saw, as you mentioned, the China PMI starting to soften a bit, still in expansion mode, but basically just too much euphoria that essentially the stairway to heaven, the old Zeppelin song, would continue in 2021, where it's just not going to happen from our perspective.
Silas, that brings to mind a saying from one of the most famous contrarians, Warren Buffett: be fearful when others are greedy and grieve when others are fearful. How much does that thinking apply here when you look at the record highs being pushed by markets? What should investors be doing right now? Should they be taking profit right now?
Well, how we're playing this in my world, which is foreign exchange and fixed income, right, is that if you believe that risk sentiment, which we do, is going to, you know, decline considerably from end of February, March, for most of the first half of this year, you're essentially buying the dollar. right? Simply because it's going to be a safe haven trade. Our view on the dollar, contrarian view of stronger dollar this year versus consensus expectation, weaker dollar, has nothing to do with yields going up. In fact, we have yields coming down, and we still have a stronger dollar, and that has to do mainly with essentially, flight to safety, and also that the pressure on the Chinese government from the United States will continue in terms of a variety of matters, including trade, and hence basically the U.S. trade balance will improve and also be supportive of the dollar. So two things you can do. One is essentially you are long dollars against Asia, and our biggest contrarian trade is long dollar China. We're still looking for good entry points. We haven't basically invoked that yet. And basically we are favorably, inclined to longer dated fixed income securities in the government space, Indonesia, Malaysia, to name a few. And we essentially are recommending to long U.S. 10-year treasuries at around the 1% handle to trade it down to 0.88%. So that's how we would express our view, are somewhat much more conservative and essentially, a cautious view on the world and markets.
Yeah, Silas, to your point, the dollar index is up nearly 1.3% for the month. And I'm just wondering, is there an element of relativity where you've got central banks around the world racing or at least keeping pace to go lower? For example, just yesterday, Austria's central bank said it would be unlikely to hike rates for at least 3 years. It also made a surprise decision to expand its QE program.
Yep, exactly. So that has to do, somewhat to do with it. But what that would entail is if you're looking at relative central bank activity, that is a basically interest rate differential story that would go into any currency, including the dollar, right? So that's not our story. Mm-hmm. Our story is, simply put, just three things, actually. One is essentially flight to safety, improving trade balance in the United States, simply because the U.S. administration will continue to hammer the Chinese authorities in terms of the trade deal that they have to comply with. And third, positioning is extremely short dollars. Those are basically our key drivers of the U.S. dollar. And on central bank activity, you'll start seeing, like in the case of Malaysia, where we have a contrarian call also. Consensus is on hold here in Malaysia as far as Bank Negara goes. We have a 25 basis point cut penciled in for, not penciled in, done and dusted for March 4. And we also believe that the balance of risks is tilted towards another 25 basis point cut in the second quarter of this year by Bank Negara. Front end of the curve in Malaysian markets are pricing in, they're basically steady as she goes. So those are some of the other contrarian calls in terms of central bank activity. Of course, we think that, not of course, but basically that the Fed will need to come to the table with additional quantitative easing in the summertime.
And Sana, just to wrap things up really quickly, you've got another contrarian call, and this is around Malaysia. You are expecting capital flows to Malaysia, a bit of a safe haven play there, and that's despite a backdrop of MCOs and possibly a hit to the economy. Walk us through your thinking here.
Yeah, so there's two aspects of capital flows, as you and most of your listeners know, right? One is basically flows to the bond market, which is steady as she goes, simply because Malaysia's real interest rate differential with the United States is basically one of the highest in the region. And secondly, that we're not expecting any downgrade from Moody's or S&P at all, right? So sovereign risks are limited. And third, on the flows to the equity market, surprisingly, as if you look at as of the December data point, we had the net outflows from equities being quite contained. It's still a large number, about 600 million of outflows, but we had tracked around 5.5 billion in outflows in March of 2020. So miraculously, the outflows that we've been seeing from equities are starting to recede as well, despite all the macro and policy risk that you read in the headlines. And so that's kind of our core thesis, why we think in terms of the capital markets here in Asia, in a sea of basically turbulence that is coming very soon, that Malaysia could stand out. You know, pretty much I would say like the rest of Southeast Asia, defensive subcontinent, if you'd like.
All right, that's Sailesh Jha. He's the Chief Economist and Head of Market Research for RHB Banking Group. Sailesh, thank you so much for your time and looking forward to having you back on again.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.